welcome everyone who's here today. Appreciate you being here. I know we have visitors, and we certainly welcome you. Want to invite you to come back at every opportunity that you can. Wes, you look really natural back there with that baby. That's a wild sight. But anyway, good to see everyone who's here. This morning, we are going to begin, as it were, to wind down the third quarter. I've kind of been building up to what we're going to talk about, so we'll get into that. We will properly, Wes and I both properly, will close out the quarter next Sunday. And speaking of next weekend, let me join in with Bill, and especially next Saturday, the Harvest Fest over in Bloomfield. I know a number of you came out for that last year. We're going to do similar to what we did. We're going to set up a booth, a table. But Wes has got a Bible trivia game, really a test your Bible knowledge game. And we're hopefully going to elicit people to kind of engage in that, to let them see really, how familiar they are with the Bible, how much they know about that. If you want to come out and, you know, just kind of lend us some support, join in that effort, we would welcome you doing that. And as Bill said, just see Wes or myself, and we'll let you know more details about that. But anybody who wants to come out and help, we'd love for you to come out. Again, our condolences to the members that have lost loved ones. Know that that's a difficult thing, and you are in our prayers. Without any further delay, let's get into the lesson. This morning I'm going to talk about the idea of hitting the wall and plateauing. If you don't know what those terms are or what they mean, well, we'll talk about them here very shortly. Let's begin to look at the idea of hitting a wall. Now, obviously, this is a brick wall with a guy kind of slumped in front of it, looking a little dejected, maybe perhaps looking tired, and that's the whole idea. Athletes in endurance sports sometimes experience what is known as hitting the wall. If you've ever been part of an endurance sport, a long season like baseball, professional athletes, especially in a sport like that, or basketball, or if you run, and I know we've got several runners here, even up to the point of running marathons, you know exactly what hitting the wall is all about. During that course of that long, drawn-out season or run or whatever it might be, it's when you just have a sudden, and that's the way it feels like, but a sudden loss of energy and a sudden loss of the drive to continue. And that's what we're really talking about as applied to whatever change it is you're trying to make in your life. Now, if you've been going through this year, if you've been trying to change something, you've really been working at it. I know some of you have. So you know exactly what I'm talking about. What happens is you can come to a point, just like the athlete, where you hit the wall or you plateau, and there isn't the same energy that you had when you first got excited about changing something. There isn't that drive, that mental drive, to keep on going in this struggle to do whatever it is you're trying to do, whether it's to lose weight like I am, whether it is to get your finances, your budget in order, have a better relationship with somebody, learn, you know, the Bible, that is, study everything in the Bible, or whatever it might be, that's what we're talking about. And as I say, this is sometimes known as the idea of reaching a plateau. I really use that terminology a lot more than hitting the wall. To me, it conjures up images of when I got very angry in life and I literally hit walls, and so I don't want to think about that. But the idea of reaching a plateau, and what it, well, I've got something that's really in my eye here, and it's bothering me. But anyway, what it is of course, when you level off. Now, I'm going to really talk about that this morning. The idea of leveling off rather than reaching new heights with whatever it is you're trying to do. For example, let's just talk about weight loss. With weight loss, a lot of you know, and my class has come to know, for example, my long-term goal, 180 pounds. That's a lot of weight. 180 pounds. That's my long-term goal. And on the way to that, I have short-term goals and I have intermediate goals. I just crossed one of those major intermediate goals in August. And as you're doing that, you realize, and I realize, that even though I have a short-term goal, it's been the same for nearly 3 years now, I'm going to lose a half a pound every week. Now, on the average, I lose about a half a pound or more. Actually, I've exceeded that on an average over the last 2 years and 9 months or whatever it is. But what happens during that time is that it doesn't just work like I would like things to be. I like for them to be mathematical. I like for them always to be even. I'd love to get on the scales every single week and it be a half pound or three quarters of a pound. That's just the way I tick, okay? But it doesn't work that way. What happens is you'll go through a period, a burst, where maybe you've adjusted your plan, you've tweaked your plan, and now you lose a little more weight, and then it'll level off again. So the idea is that instead of always accomplishing increased results, more results, more results, more results, in a relative sense, a person is likely going to come to this point of reaching a plateau. And you can see that mountain in the background. It's a very real mountain, and many of them around the world look like this. It ascends, and then it levels off. And you can see that in the picture. And life is like that. While making change in your life, while making a real change in your life, you're going to come to this point really a lot of times. But several times you're going to come to this point. And how you deal with it. In other words, here I am. I'm going to climb this mountain. And I'm all excited about it. I'm all fired up about climbing up, by going up and reaching these heights and all of that kind of thing. And what's going to happen is, I'm going to start out and there's going to be a lot of energy. I'm going to be moving up the mountain. But the mountain, just like the change I'm trying to make, it naturally begins to level off. And I slow down and I put forth the same effort, but the change isn't coming. I'm not getting any higher. I'm not ascending to any new heights. I'm not accomplishing any more results. If you want to put that in practical terms, I'm working just as hard as I've been working. I'm eating just as healthy as I've been eating. I'm exercising just as much. And I get on the scales and it says the same thing. And for a period of time, and usually that lasts for as much as a month to 6 weeks, my results are exactly the same. Now, I've got a huge question. I'm doing the work. I'm not seeing the results. Do I give up? Do I quit because it's, quote, not working? It's not going to work anymore. I'm not going to lose any more weight. Or am I going to continue to do what I'm doing that's yielded those positive results and believe the plan is good? It's a big question. And it is a question that most everyone, and I really believe everyone, that ever tries to make a positive change in life, it's a question they have to face. I'll give you another one. I know that a number of people set as a goal to have a better relationship with someone, whoever that might be, a child, a spouse, or whomever it might be. And we get excited about that and we begin to do those things, you know, we incorporate the plan, whatever it might be. You know, I'm going to have a better relationship with my wife. And so I incorporate into my plan, as you know, I've jokingly said to people, you know, I put things down, very simple things. You know, at 4 o'clock on Tuesday, I'm going to give her a kiss on the cheek. And what you notice is that really brings some positive results until she gets used to that. And then you don't get the same response that you got the last 6 times you did that at 4 o'clock on Tuesday. What I'm getting at is we know life is like that. You can put forth the effort, the same amount of effort, but you don't get worse results. And I found that when I was climbing on the scales, one thing that was interesting is even though my weight would fluctuate, I mean, if you weigh yourself five times a day, you'll have five different weights, you know. And I don't suggest you do that, okay? But really, I wasn't losing ground. I just wasn't gaining ground, or at least that's the way it seemed. So there's a big question. Do I quit or do I keep going? This is a very famous statue. It's called the Tired Man. It's worked by Yosef Somogyi. And if you notice what's happening here, this is supposed to be of a runner. And he's gone as far as he can go. He's hit the wall. He's worn out. He's slumped over. And the picture, and of course the idea in the setting is, I can't go any further down the sidewalk. I can't run anymore. And runners, you know, probably have felt this, been through this a lot of times. Fatigue is a natural result of working hard at something and not seeing results. We are a society conditioned. We've conditioned ourselves. You started doing this when you were a little child, and we're all, almost everybody in here, we are from birth television, the television generation. And what happens is you watch so much television and you go to so many movies, you expect every single thing in life to work out in either 22 minutes, which is the actual viewing time, non-commercials, of a half-hour sitcom, to 2 hours or 3 hours at the very longest of a long, long, long movie. Life ain't that way. We know that, but our minds are so conditioned to expect it. If I don't get instant, virtually immediate gratification, I'm ready to quit. This is not working. I've worked hard, really hard. I've eaten healthy. I've exercised for 3 whole days. And that's where we are. And because we don't see instant, immediate results, we're ready to quit. Our mind tells us that's what we should do. It's a bad movie. I'm living a bad movie. Change the channel. Life is not that way. And what you have to realize is just like with the athlete, he's learned this lesson. Your professional athlete that is successful knows this lesson. He knows that it's the long, grueling work that enables him to go out there and perform for the few minutes to the couple of hours he performs. He understands that. We watch him for a few minutes and think, that looks easy. I watch Matt Kuchar or Tiger Woods go out and hit a golf ball, and I think to myself, man, would I like to do that for $5 million a year. And I don't think about the long, long, grueling time that goes in, the blisters upon blisters that go in to putting forth the effort and doing what it takes to be able to do that. Even if I had some skill. The tired man demonstrates to us the fatigue that can come to a person and debilitate. That is, take away the ability to keep going. And yet the Bible tells us, don't stop. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, and I'm going to focus on Galatians 6 and verse 9 this morning. Be not weary in well-doing. And that word weary there is exactly the word for tired, fatigued, worn out. Don't get worn out in doing good. If it's good, and I'm going to apply it this way, if the plan is good, and you might say, well now, what does losing weight have to do with being a Christian? Everything. Just like the relationship you have with your spouse, just like the budget you have to control your bills and pay your bills, it has everything to do with being a Christian. It's all part of the good that I as a Christian am supposed to be doing. As I said so many times, I know, and I tell myself all the time, The more weight I lose, the healthier I am, the longer I live, the better spouse I'll be, the better father I'll be, the better preacher I'll be, the more energy I'll have to do God's work, and that's why I do it. Be not weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season. In due season means it's going to take some time. This is not a movie, and it's sure not a half-hour comedy. In due season, if we don't faint. The idea of faint is, I'm worn out, I quit. Well, I'm not going to quit. And so the idea of hitting the wall or plateauing means when I face the question at the top of the plateau, do I keep going or do I quit? I've already answered that question. I'm not quitting. And that's the idea. So what do we do? I'm not going to quit. So what do I do? I want to suggest some things to you quickly, and these are very simple things, but this is what you do. Number one, you keep going. Now that may seem overly simplistic, but bear with me for a second. It's what God tells me to do. Be not weary in well-doing. Don't quit. I think to me, and I say this to myself, that's not even half the battle. It's way more than half the battle. I've told people, and I mean this, I have literally told people for years without telling myself, if you don't quit, you'll make it. I believe that the number one thing a Christian has to do to go to heaven, and you can mark this down, this is exactly what I believe. The number one thing you have to do to go to heaven is keep getting there. Because the day you quit, you go to hell. If I stay in there with God, no matter what, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what no matter how I'm failing even, I just won't quit. There's an old story of a boxer. I've told you this before. I wish I could remember. I ought to look this up. Because every time I want to tell the story, I can't remember all the details. But here's the point. It's a boxer about 100 years ago. He had a match with someone and he lost. So he got a rematch. Something tells me match smelling was involved, but it doesn't matter. But he got a rematch. And here's how he trained. He trained by running backwards. You got me. You heard me right. He ran backwards every day, miles. He got so good at running backward, he could literally run for, well over an hour. Hours backwards. He ran up hills and down hills backwards. It was the strangest thing. And people, reporters would come out and watch it and write about it. This crazy nut, this boxer, maybe he was hit too hard in the last fight, When he had a rematch with a guy, here was his plan. I can't beat this guy. No matter how hard I train, I can't outbox this guy, but I can outlast him. He got in this fight. And this is back in the days when it wasn't a 15-round bout. It was a however long it takes bout. And they would go 30, 40, 50 rounds. He got into this fight, and sure enough, just like in the first time, the guy began to beat on him. And when he began to beat on him, he started jogging around the ring, and you guessed it, backwards. He got beat on literally senseless. Now, this is a true story. You can go read it. He got beat on to the point he didn't even know what was going on, but his mind was so responsive that his body said, well, we know what to do. You just run backwards. He backpedaled for round after round until he wore the other guy out. And after he wore the other guy out, he came to his senses and knocked him out. You know why he won that race? Because he wouldn't quit. It's not because he was a better boxer. It's not because he was a stronger athlete. It's because he had more determination to keep going. You keep going. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I want you to turn there with me and read this passage. Begin in verse 24 when Paul says it like this. Know ye not that they which run in a race, they all run, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain. Why do they win? Many times the person that wins the endurance race is because they won't quit. And we know that in sports. It's the team that just won't quit. They won't lay down. It's the guy who won't quit. Every man that strives for the mastery or the trophy, the crown, is self-controlled. Circle that if you're in the habit of doing it. He's temperate in all things. He stays there. He's got control of himself. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I, therefore, so run, Paul said. This is how I run. Now, we think of all the things Paul went through in his life, and we say, how could Paul keep going? Because Paul would not quit. There was no intent. We would say today, there's no quit in Paul. And that's right. It doesn't matter if you're being beaten. It doesn't matter if you're out in an ocean somewhere. It doesn't matter if the ship's just been wrecked. Paul doesn't quit. I keep going. I run like that. Not as uncertainly. I know where I'm going. So fight I, not as one that beats the air. I'm not a person that gets in a fight to lose. And you can, you know, I've been in fights before, and a lot of you have. You can be beaten. I've been beaten before. I've been beaten badly before. But I made up my mind at a certain point in my life, no matter how badly you're beaten, you don't run, you don't quit. It's a motto you train yourself. A Christian says to himself, I'm not quitting. No matter what. And he says it so much, he doesn't quit. I run like that, Paul says. I keep under my body. I buffet my body, different translations say. I control it. And I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself am a castaway. Athletes know, and you will hear them say, just keep doing what you're doing, and the results will come. When you're at the top of the plateau, and you're doing what you need to be doing, you know that. I'm eating healthy. I'm exercising. I'm pushing myself in my exercising. I'm doing what I need to be doing. Then keep doing it. I say to myself, I've gotten on the scales for 6-7 weeks in a row, and had to say to myself, just keep doing what you're doing. Only to get back on the scales the next week and bam, I'm down 4 pounds. Haven't changed a thing. I just had to let my body catch up to it. Just keep doing what you're doing. Second big point. That's the most important point. The second big point is to understand the mental process. Learn what's going on. You know, your brain is saying, stop, take a break, slow down. It's screaming that at you. Chemically, here's what's going on. Now, I'm not going to get deep into this, because for one thing, I don't understand it. But for another thing, there's no point. But just understand what's going on. Serotonin levels are rising in your body, chemically. Because tryptophan is being delivered to your brain, and that's triggering your brain to slow down or even stop the production of dopamine. What is dopamine? Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that is responsible for the emotions you have of excitement. You're going to make a change in your life. You get all fired up about it. What's happening? Your body is pumping this chemical throughout. That's why you feel good. That's why you feel excited. That's why you're fired up, as we say. But when it stops the production of that, that begins to go away. That chemical, that neurotransmitter that triggers motivation in you. Pleasure. This feels good. Or even that idea that something is rewarding. I'm getting something positive out of this. Well, the exact opposite is going on when you're stepping on the scales and you ain't lost 1 ounce. When that happens to you, your brain starts screaming, this doesn't feel good. Let's quit. We ain't getting any results anyway. What's the point? And you got to deal with that. That's when the battle really begins. And you have that added enemy. Remember those lessons we did about Satan? Why did we do those lessons? Because here's when Satan comes in. Satan, I'm your buddy. I'm your friend. I'll make you feel better. You know, if you just take a break for this week, and you run to the grocery store and buy yourself some butter pecan ice cream, you will feel better.
Let's quit.
And you got to fight that. There's got to be a get thee behind me say, we're not doing that. We are not quitting. I made up my mind. Because periods of rest, taking a break from your efforts, it won't alleviate the problem. It will only make it worse. Now, you may need to tweak the plan. And here's what I mean by that. If my exercising is lifting weights, and that's what I tend to do, I like doing that. And I'll walk, but I'd much rather lift the weights, pump the iron, than walk. But if I'm lifting the weights, now I've been doing that for a while, I've been doing 25 reps of 35 pounds. Bam, bam, bam. And it's getting easier and easier and easier to do that. So I can pick up the weight, knock out the reps, lay the weights down, walk away, and that was easy. You know what it's time to do? Yeah, increase the weight a little bit or more reps. Because your body is acclimated to it. You know? Your body is saying, we're there. We can do this. The struggle that it was on that 22nd time, 23rd time a month ago, it's not going to be there a month later. Tweak the plan. It's not that the plan is bad. It's that you need to tweak it. But if the plan is good, I mean, you know, there's not anything else I can squeeze out of it. I've made every cut I can make. The only reason I haven't really taken some money out of the debt is, well, blew two tires I didn't expect to blow this month. You know, that kind of thing. If you can't do anything and the plan is good, then just keep working the plan. That's like the athlete saying, I know the rehab process is good. I blew out the left knee and it worked. And now it's going to work on the right knee. Just keep working the plan. The plan is good. So you either need to tweak the plan or just follow the plan, but don't quit. Don't take a break. Focus on the basics. Go all the way back to your mission, your goals, your plan. It's got to dominate your thinking. You have to know why you're doing this. And it becomes extremely important to, quote unquote, get in touch with my own thinking. Because that's where it's going on. If my brain is what I'm fighting, then I got to get in touch with my thinking. I got to understand what's going on here. That's why it's so important to journal. And I couldn't stress that enough in quarter one, and I can't still stress that enough. Read this passage. Wes read it. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and just listen to some of the things Paul said. For though we walk in the flesh, verse 3, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but they are strong, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, when something has a strong hold on you, or even a stranglehold on you, it takes a lot of mental work to get rid of that. Ask any smoker that ever tried to quit. I mean, it can be a mental battle way beyond the physical. You have to cast down the imagination. In fact, you have to exchange them for visualizing what's good and positive. And every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. What kind of thing? Let's make that simple. God says keep going. Satan says quit. That is something that would vaunt itself or excel itself. Exalt itself is the word I'm looking for above the simple things of God. Every thought has to be brought into obedience to Jesus Christ if you want to overcome. And lastly, understand that a lifelong change comes by a methodical, continued, step-by-step process. Remember this picture, and I put it up here a number of times. You've made the decision. You've got the plan of action. Work the plan. And work it till it becomes a good habit, a natural thing, a lifelong change. Finally, take confidence in what's really happening. Let's go back to the plateau effect a minute. You're experiencing this plateau effect. There is loss of effectiveness. That's what you see. Not really is there, but that's what you see. The measures you've been taking over time aren't yielding the same results right now. Is the idea. So for a period of time, there's not any measurable increase. There's not any decrease, but you just can't see results. Now, except for tweaking it, the plan is good. That's only going to be temporary. And that's the truth. The results will continue to come. You've just caught up. You've just acclimated. Paul said it like this. I forget the things that lie behind. That old way of life, the man I used to be, the fat guy that was 180 pounds overweight, I am not that person anymore. It's as simple as that. I'm not going back there. I won't be that person. That's not the way I think. That's not me. This is a brief plateau. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. The results will be there. I may tweak the plan, but the plan is good. If it's worked and I've lost 122 pounds of the 180, the plan is good. Just keep doing what you're doing. Paul said, I press on. I don't quit. I'm going to make a change for once in my life. I'm going to feel real good. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to make it right. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. No message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, you take a look at yourself, and then you make that change. Are you here today? You're looking at your life, and you're knowing that you need to change. Today, you want to change. You want to be right with the Lord. You want your life to be what it should be. And you know the first great step you take is in confessing your faith. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I want to change. If you have sins in your life, if you've never been baptized, you need to be. You need to be baptized to have those sins washed away. And if you've done that, and yet your life is not what it needs to be, and there are sins that need to be taken away, or you just want to ask for the prayers of the people here, help me, pray together with me, so that I can keep going. And we'd love for you to do that while we stand and sing.